Good to see everybody here this evening. Hope you've had just a really good day today. Several visitors with us today. Good to see Ima Jean with us. Good to have Ed in town for a little bit as well. Good to have all of our visitors. I neglected to mention this morning, we've got Van and Janet back, and we're glad to have Van and Janet back. We have missed them, so welcome home to them. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, I'd like to begin with a passage in John chapter 10. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 has a great selection of parables that really, when we look at them, they have, I believe, an awful lot of encouragement for us. And I want to set the table with this passage in John chapter 10. Jesus, in verse 7, says this, "I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Your version may say, "have life more abundantly." And that's what we want to look at tonight, is this abundant life that we have in Christ. There's only two stances we can take while we live here. We can either be of the world in Satan's realm, in other words, or we can be in Christ's realm within the kingdom or within the church. And the choice is ours as long as we live. Once we draw our last breath, the choice has been sealed and our fate has been sealed as well. But I want to really call your attention to the abundant life that Christ has for those who are in Him, because it really will make the difference in everybody's life if we'll really take advantage of that. Matthew 13 is the next passage we want to look at. And let's start in verse 31. He's been telling them a number of parables, and he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Well, when we talk about the kingdom here on earth, we are certainly talking about the church. We're talking about Christ's spiritual kingdom, of which the body of Christ is, and each one of us are part of that body. But a lot of times when we look at this, we think only of the, I don't know, best way to put it, macro picture maybe, of the church, how it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And that's certainly an appropriate way to look at that. As a matter of fact, it may be the best way to look at it. But tonight I'd like you to think just for a minute about what this parable means to us as individuals. Let me read it again. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Well, if we have time, we're going to look at a couple of the other parables that talk about the soil being our hearts. And so when he talks about a man taking and planting in his field, he's really talking about planting the kingdom within our heart. But have you ever thought about how much potential we have as Christians to enlarge our lives, to have a fullness of life? When we're not Christians, we are apart from God, and therefore we literally have nothing. But when we become Christians, when we become part of the kingdom, then our life really does start to expand. And we really start to have that abundant life that God and Christ desire for us to have. And it is a fantastic life when you think about it. It's a full life. Hang on to that thought for a moment, and let's look at the next parable because it's closely related. Verse 33, he told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." And again, I don't want to imply for a moment that this does not have application. If it's not directly talking about how the church grows throughout the world and it gathers more and more people. But I'd like you to think about what the kingdom does within you. Anybody who's ever baked or who's had a wife that's baked knows what yeast does. You put the yeast in, and if the yeast is good, it works through the dough. It causes it to rise. It causes it to have a fullness that it didn't have before. And when you bake that something with yeast, it's really tasty if it's done right. But the kingdom spreading through your life really does work like yeast going through a batch of dough. It just gets better and better, and your life gets better and better, and your life expands as far as what you can do. There are so many people who live this life really at a subpar level, where all they're doing is going after the physical things. We do live in a physical world, and we do have to give attention to the physical things. We have to think about how we're going to put food on the table. We have to think about how we're going to get a table to put food on, and everything else that we need to do. We think about our spouses. We think about our families. We think about all sorts of things. We talked about from time to time. This morning we talked about the fact that from time to time we have to think of unpleasant things like politics. But the point of all that is, when you have the kingdom within you, when you have Christ within you, every part of your life is made fuller and more abundant. You're still going to work, but your work is now for God, and you're looking through the lens of godliness and Christianity as you work. And that really does make your job easier, because now instead of just going to work and putting in the day and getting it done with, now you're looking to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. You really are looking out for the ones that you're working for, both your employers, if you have employers, and those who you are serving within the business community. You want the best for them as well. And so you have a more fullness or a greater fullness within your business life. Within our families, when we start thinking about what Christ means from that perspective, and how as husband and wife you really are co-workers within the kingdom, and all the things that does, and how that enhances your relationship, and how it enhances the relationship you have with your children, because you have a plan from God as far as how to raise your children in the right way, as a matter of fact, in the best way. And so now you have something from God, and you are working with Him hand in hand. He's commanded. I'm not suggesting we're an equal partner, but we are working with Him to raise those children for Him so that they can be effective servants of the kingdom. But so in our family, our families are enhanced. Your relationships are enhanced, because now you're not just looking at it from a selfish perspective. Do you know why most relationships fail? It's because we think about me. We think about what people are doing to please me, what our kids are doing that aggravates me, or what they're doing that satisfies me. But when you look at it from that perspective, it's a hollow life. But when you have Christ, when you have the kingdom within you, and Christ really is within you, it just kind of fingers out into every aspect of your life. When Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly," He wasn't just talking. It is an abundant life. It's an incredible life. It's like taking a little seed and planting it into the ground where there is nothing but dirt, and then you're getting a huge tree with all the ecosystem that creates. God creates within us something that is very satisfying, very fulfilling, and very important. But we have to have the kingdom within us. And so I think those parables, when we look at them from that perspective, I think it really does help us maybe to see at least in a small measure what God has done for us. He's given us a big life. Now, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." And then the very next parable, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." The cost of the kingdom is everything you have. And most of us aren't willing to give up everything we have. I don't mean that you have to put everything in the collection plate on Sunday morning, but what I mean is your money belongs to God. And He's going to call you into account as to how you use it. I don't think God minds at all when we use part of the blessings that He's given to us for entertainment, as long as it's appropriate and as long as it's measured and it doesn't become our entire life. I don't think He minds us having nice cars and pleasant homes and good clothes. But in each of those areas, we never forget this belongs to God. I'm going to use this in His service. And again, I want to say, as we think about it from this perspective, it enhances our life. It makes our life bigger. It makes it more abundantly, and that's what Christ wants for us to have, is an abundant life. I love these two parables side by side like they are, because they really tell you something about the kingdom of God. When He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It gives you the idea that the man was not necessarily looking for treasure. He just kind of came across it. He was pleasantly surprised. But when he found it, he instantly recognized its value. And this says, in his joy, he went and sold everything he had. I'm absolutely convinced that this is one of the measures that we can use to see whether or not we are viewing the kingdom in the right way. Are we happy to use our time for God? Or is it something reluctant? Do we act as if coming to the worship or taking extra time for Bible study or taking extra time for prayer is something that's an inconvenience because we're using our time? When the fact of the matter is, we don't have any time that God didn't give to us. It's His time. And every instance that we start becoming reluctant to use it for Him, it really does show something. It shows a flaw within our thinking. This man who stumbled across this treasure was so delighted to find it in this field that he went and took everything he had, and he was glad. In his joy, he sold everything he had and bought it. And then the next one I like, because this is somebody that's more purposed. He's looking for this treasure, isn't he? It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I've had the privilege of studying with several people who were genuinely looking for the truth. And they'd been looking for a long time. They knew what they were looking for, but they hadn't found it yet. But they were absolutely determined, I am going to find out what God wants me to do. And it's always a joy to see people, once they come into contact with the gospel, without it being polluted by all of man's thoughts and all the different conditions that men put on it and all the changes that men do to the gospel to make it more of a custom fit. When you see somebody who has been looking for God's way and finds it, and the joy that they have after this purposeful search that they've had for so long, it's something to behold. But in both instances, whether somebody stumbles across it and thinks, I can't believe I found this, or whether somebody has been looking and finally finds it and can't believe they found it, it's the same thing. We are happy to give up everything we have in exchange for the kingdom, because this kingdom is going to give us an abundant life. It's going to make our children happier. It's going to make our marriages better. It's going to make our friendships better. It's going to make the church stronger. It's going to make the community better. It's going to make the nation better. Everything about the kingdom is something that is going to enhance our lives and make it more abundant, because the Creator knows the secret to a really good world and a really good life, and He has that for us. Isn't it marvelous to be able to look at the parables? The last parable we want to look at is the parable of the soils. And it really does, I believe, show us how we need to be prepared. A lot of times we look at the parable of the soil strictly from the perspective of our initial coming to Christ. And certainly that is an appropriate way to look at this. As a matter of fact, it may be the main message of this parable. But it's not the only message. So look at this parable of the soil, starting in Matthew 13, verse 1. Let's look at verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed, verse 8, Christ tells us, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, the beauty is Jesus didn't just leave it there. He explained it to him, and he tells him what he's talking about when he's talking about soil and when he's talking about seed, because he wants us to know he's not talking about farming here. He's talking about your heart and the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, the seed is the Word of God. So if we can keep that in mind, it will help. Mark 4, verse 14, the farmer sows the Word. So we have God sowing His Word within our hearts. In Matthew 13, verse 18, Jesus explains this parable. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Keep that phrase in mind, because when we see that the seed was sown in his heart, that tells us what the soil is. In each instance, he's sowing the seed in soil. And as we go through the explanation of the parable, we see that what the seed is the Word of God, and what the soil is our hearts. And I want to say again, I know that this has tremendous application to those when they are first coming to the Word and first accepting the Word. But for those of you who are mature in Christ, it really has a message for you as far as the way you're going to live your life. How is the Word of God going to impact your heart? How are you going to live once you have the kingdom within you? Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. We've all walked on a path, a good path. A good path is hard. It doesn't allow any moisture to get in. It doesn't allow anything to fall within the cracks, because there are no cracks. It's just hard. But a good heart is not like a good path, because we're not to have hard hearts. How often is it that we come to Christ and at some point our hearts become hardened and the Word no longer affects us? We hear the Word and we become impatient with the Word. We hear the Word and it makes us mad because we hear of responsibilities. Or we hear the Word and we become upset or depressed because we know we're not handling the Word right. And instead of repenting and beginning to handle this Word right, we just harden our hearts. And it allows Satan to steal the Word from our heart. It's not an unfair situation when the evil one can come and snatch away what was sown in our heart, because our heart is up to us. Is it going to be so hard that the Word no longer penetrates? Remember what it was like when you first accepted Christ and you became a Christian, and how exciting that was to think that my sins are gone. I really liked that time. I loved watching our kids with that time. They didn't mind so much when the tornado sirens went off. As a matter of fact, it seemed like they all started standing on the porch and watching to see where the tornadoes were, because they weren't worried anymore about what they had been worried about just a little bit before. But if our hearts are hard, then the Word doesn't have an effect. And we become jaded in every aspect of our life. Whether we're talking about somebody who never accepts the Word because their heart is hard, or whether we talk about somebody who rejects the Word later on because they've allowed their heart to become hardened and it no longer has an effect on them. And I think that there are different times in all of our lives where we have had that happen or start to happen. We've had a hardening of the heart. We need to make sure that we work very hard to make sure that if that's happening, that we correct him. The next one, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky place is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. We see that a lot with new Christians, do we not? There are some people that just accept it. They're just so excited. They're happy as can be, and they just immerse their life in Christianity as they should, but they have a shallow heart. They do that with everything. They're excited about store grand openings because it's the greatest thing ever, just like they are excited about the Church of Christ because it's the greatest thing ever. They only get so far as depth. And when we have no depth to our love for Christ, when we have no depth of service, then it's because our hearts are shallow. And even though we may have accepted Christ and gone away and come back, if they remain shallow, we'll go away again. We'll have a continual struggle in our life for what's important. For a while the world will be important, for a while Christ will be important. It'll just go back and forth like a ping pong ball. And I know that we all struggle with different things, but we have to be very careful to make sure that this word penetrates our heart, that we are buying into what God is telling us. Because if we don't, there are going to be times of trouble and persecution. And there are a lot of people who just have decided, well, if God does not make my day work out perfectly for me, I can't serve him today. If my day doesn't fall perfectly into place, there will be no worship for me today, and it's not my fault, it's God's fault. If it doesn't fall perfectly into place for me, I won't read the word, and it's not my fault, it's God's fault for not doing that. And they just, whatever it is, whatever service it is to God, they have an excuse and they blame God. I can assure you, it is never God's fault when we think that we don't have time to serve him, or when we think that we cannot use our limited resources to serve him to the fullest. 22, the one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. I suppose if the truth be known, most Christians have more trouble with this than anything else. The world's real. We live in a physical world. We have to make a living. We have to get up and make breakfast and make it for our kids. We have to get them off to school. We have to go and make a living. Our cars really do break down. Our furnaces really do fail us from time to time. There's all sorts of things that happen in life. And if we're not careful, if we allow those things to affect whether I am happy, whether I am devoted, whether I am going to serve or not, it's because we allow the thorns to affect us. There are thorns everywhere. We just have to learn to make sure that we weed them out of our heart. We still have serious things to take care of. But if we have Christ first, there's plenty of time and there's plenty of resources to do that. And the last part, the one who received the seed and fell on good soil, the seed that fell on good soil, is the man who hears the word and, look at this, understands it. Do you understand the word? That's why we're commanded to do our best to correctly handle the word, is because you can't understand it. There are so many people who will tell you different. Nobody can really understand the word is what they'll say, but that's a lie. There will be others that say, if you want to understand the word, you've got to come to me and I'll tell you what it means. But that's a lie. You and I can understand the word. And the more effort we put into looking at the word, praying about the word, applying the word, the more we're going to understand it. And the more that little seed that is planted within our heart is going to grow and spread out into every area of our life and give us the abundant life that Christ has called us to. Invitations open this evening. If you need to respond for any reason, won't you come while we stand and sing?